Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Locked On Big Ten podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. It is Friday, September 4th, and today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. One more time for the jingle to take you into your long holiday weekend. Here we go. All the parts your car will ever need. Rock Auto. Shout out to RockAuto.com, today's episode sponsor. And on today's episode, well, it's another edition of the Locked On Big Ten show, which means it's another edition of bringing you the latest updates in the rumors and the reports circulating and swirling around the Big Ten Conference. Wow, what another day it is. So let's start with what happened on Wednesday afternoon. Dave Biddle, the editor of Buck Nuts on 24/7 Sports, CBS Sports Network, truly a reputable source who covers Ohio State, had a report that the Big Ten presidents and chancellors would vote to reinstate the Big Ten fall sports season, of course, including football, as early as Friday. Some other reporters across the college football landscape, mainly the Big Ten, mainly somebody that has appeared on this podcast in the past, also echoed the same sentiment. However, it has been largely debunked by a lot of the national media members that cover college football. Dennis Dodd, the longtime CBS Sports football writer, said that he spoke with multiple sources in the Big Ten and that there is no imminent vote coming up on Friday and there is no plan to move to bring back Big Ten football as early as both Dave Biddle and our boy Sir Yacht have said as October 10th. There was also a report from Dan Patrick that happened soon after you heard Wednesday's episode of the same thing, targeting an October 10th start date to reinstitute the Big Ten football season. Again, the national media members have largely gone back and fought those claims that these are not actually what is being reported. This is not what they are hearing. Even Scott Docterman, the Iowa football beat reporter for The Athletic, a voice I very much trust, said he spoke with Iowa athletic director Gary Barta on Thursday, and he knows of no such vote taking place on Friday. So again, listen, I'm getting as tired of all of these rumors and reports and all the speculation that is swirling around the conference that I love as I was with the lack of transparency coming from the Big Ten League office and Commissioner Kevin Warren. I don't know what to make of it anymore. I guess until I see an actual Big Ten football game played on my screen, I won't know exactly when the Big Ten season is going to come back. Until there is a 4th-and-3 from the opponent's 42-yard line, and instead of trying to run and get the first down conversion or passing for it even, and whatever Big Ten team, insert Big Ten team here, decides to punt it away and cough and corner somebody, then I'll believe Big Ten football is back. I don't know what to make of it anymore. Truly, I'm having a tough time keeping up with all of it. I'm seeing all the news come down my timeline on Twitter. I'm seeing all the reports via social media. I'm seeing certain people with somewhat of a reputable background saying, hey, we have sources confirming this to us. There will be this coming on Friday. And then we have other people, national media members that I respect that have been covering college football for many, many years, pretty much saying, no, this is not happening. Trust in the people who have been leading you in coverage for as long as we have. So really, I don't know what to make of it. It is frankly rather annoying. Really, all I want to care about is watching a football season take place. I wish we were at the point here in early September where, while I'm recording this, Thursday, September 3rd, the conference-only schedule for the Big Ten was supposed to start with Ohio State and Illinois. We don't need to go down that road again. We don't need to make ourselves sad once again. But some encouraging notes for really the grand scheme of collegiate athletics, the Pac-12 with a huge announcement on Thursday afternoon that they have signed on to with a certain company in terms of COVID-19 testing. They will have daily testing very soon for their collegiate athletes in close contact sports for those Pac-12 universities. That is huge. Mainly, you might think for the first thought, what does that mean for the college football season? But it's also huge as we look to get back to a safe way of playing college basketball coming up here in just a few short months. Daily testing obviously means that if you know each and every day going into a practice, going into a game, that your team has negative tests across the board and you're good to go, that is monumental, a monumental step for collegiate athletics in general. Yes, it is the Pac-12. But the Pac-12 and the Big Ten have kind of been brothers in arms throughout this whole postponement cancellation thing. So maybe the Big Ten is next. What that means for football, I don't know. Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott said today in his media availability following that huge announcement about the Pac-12 partnering with whatever lab they are to get daily testing that he is hoping that the Pac-12 and the Big Ten can be along similar timelines in terms of returning to play for football. So we might have like a spring Rose Bowl. April in Pasadena would still be pretty cool in my opinion. However, it seems we're still a long way away. I would not bank, as you are hearing this, a vote will take place between Big Ten presidents and chancellors to go back and change course on a Big Ten football season this year. I'd put it at about a 5% chance. Maybe slim to none, and none just walked out the door. Again, I'm not really sure, but I can promise you we'll be keeping you updated here on the Locked On Big Ten show on my Twitter at Ben Scott Stevens and at Locked On Big Ten's Twitter as well. Anything that I know, you will know. Anything that I see, even if it's a report that I'm like, I'm a little skeptical of, you will see and you will hear about it. At this point, it's just a whirlwind. It's just noise until something actually is confirmed and released mainly from the league office itself, which still is allowing all of the speculation to take place because they have not been able to properly communicate with the fans, with the teams, with the programs, and everybody that is following along in the Big Ten community. It has not looked good for the Big Ten. That we can say with certainty. So, let's let the Big Ten go for just a moment and get back to some national perspective. SEC Drew Carter is back on the podcast letting us know what it's like to actually cover a college football season, getting to dive in a little bit to the X's and O's, but how that feels given the state of the world and knowing what is going around surrounding the COVID-19 pandemic and trying to get back safely to play a college football season. Also, the UAB Blazers in action on Thursday night. Of course, that is Drew's Cinderella team for the Group of Five this season. Let's get a quick score update, shall we? UAB Blazers taking on Central Arkansas, who has now played two games. Let's see what we got. The research department is live on the topic right now. 2 minutes to go in the second quarter. The University of Alabama Birmingham Blazers, with the Dragon as their mascot, are up 28-14. Looking like a real wagon right now, Drew. We believe in your insight. So let's hear more from Drew Carter right now. And as we are praising SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, this is also not to say there has not been a few hiccups throughout the Southeastern Conference as they have gotten back to college football. We're seeing, even in these past couple days, LSU, a good amount of players opting out there, including their stud wide receiver, Ja'Marr Chase. They now only return five of their 22 starters from last year's national title team. We've seen the images out of Tuscaloosa and the packed bars and the scenes all around campus. Nick Saban has come out and said, like, get your tails inside or we're not going to play college football. So how are you, as we use this big word, the C word, compartmentalizing all of that, being excited to cover college football, but also having an understanding that we're still kind of far away from getting to that point where we really blast off and play?
Yeah, it's a really good point because it's difficult. You know, now that we're into September, it does kind of feel more real. And it feels like every day, just getting through every day is a battle. Every day is a gauntlet. It's like being in a Saw movie every day. And if you can just make it to the end, you succeed. And then we're on to the next day. So, you know, Nick Saban said this the other day after Alabama's first scrimmage. And I thought it was very insightful. It kind of gave us a window into their mind as a team, their collective mindset. He said, it was exciting for all of us to be at Bryant-Denny Stadium. It was their first scrimmage on the field. Mm-hmm. Because it feels like every step we take, it feels like a game is going to happen. It makes it more realistic. It feels like we are one inch closer to a game happening. And then he also said, at this point, we're trying to get the players to transition their frame of mind from practicing to practice to practicing to play. Mm. Because there has been so much uncertainty. And these guys are all in social media. There has been so much, I guess, negativity from media people like you and me, again, rooting against the college football season.
The bad guys. We're the bad guys.
That's us. We hate college football. That's why we're talking about it here.
Absolutely.
So anyway, so they have seen all the questions and the skepticism around the season. So Nick Saban was saying, basically, it's different now because, you know, it's in, like, we have it in our, like, view. It's in our view. The college football season is happening. It's not too far away anymore. We're into September.
So a long 3-day holiday weekend coming up as Drew Carter is explaining what is hopefully a long football season for the teams in the Southeastern Conference. We'll see if we get to that holy land of September 26th. But regardless, however you want to fuel yourself, however you want to keep your energy up and going, even if it's on a daily basis, make sure you are turning to Built Bar. Because yes, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. I'm not just saying that. I know I am reading that off a copy that is provided to me by Built Bar itself. But I truly mean that. From the very beginning, when they had their 12 original flavors that were sent to me, I was a little skeptical. I said to myself, okay, how good is this going to be? I've never really heard of Built Bar. As soon as I unwrapped the first flavor, which was the peanut butter, which is one of my favorite, I was in love with Built Bar. It truly is the best tasting protein bar ever, and it has gotten even deliciouser. 6 new flavors that include caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. And the reason I love Built Bar so much, truly, is because the bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft and they are easy to chew. And a pro tip for you all out there that are rushing to BuiltBar.com right now, put them in the freezer, make them crisp. Oh, it tastes like dessert with every single bite. And on top of that, you can feel good about yourself eating Built Bar because it's perfect for the health-conscious person looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are super low in calorie, super low in sugar, but high in where it counts. Protein and fiber. They're great for you, and they taste great. What could be better than that? This is what is better than that. When you go to BuiltBar.com right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order. Sweet, huh? Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com, and even sweeter, while supplies last, if they still do, a free cooler with your purchase at BuiltBar.com when you use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your next order.
We're about 4 weeks out from the season starting. This is great, and they're scrimmaging. Unfortunately, flip side of that is you look across the state, Auburn, which had zero positive tests from anyone in its program for the last 2 weeks, randomly just had 9 positive COVID-19 tests.
Right.
And you really can't pinpoint, maybe the team can, but they wouldn't tell us, you know, how, like what changed, why they went from 0 to 9. But students are back on campus, so it's pretty easy to connect those dots. And you mentioned the photos of the bars in Tuscaloosa. They're even worse in Auburn. And my friend Gianna, who works for AL.com covering Auburn, tweeted some videos on a Saturday night or Friday night or Saturday night, whatever. No one wearing masks. Mo Bamba just blasting. And these people are packed in like sardines. And so, Ben, what I'm trying to do right now is balance being – the guy who's okay and accepting of college kids being college kids, because honestly, like I don't think the fault lies at their feet. I really don't. I think it lies at the decision maker's feet for saying, you know, okay, everybody come back on campus, but like, be good, be good. And then acting so surprised and like expelling students for being students. Come on.
Right.
I mean, when we're 18, 19 years old, we all know how we would have acted.
And if you hear Mo Bamba blasting, you're going to have a hard time not going to a bar.
Right. I mean, you are like a moth to the light with Mo Bamba. You're going to go to Mo Bamba. So anyway, what happened was that video was on Twitter. And despite what I just said, I had a little fun with it. I sort of chastised the people at Auburn. I what I said word for word, and I remember it because I was a little nervous about it. I didn't want anyone to roast me or come back at me, basically. But what I said was, if you were at the bar Southeastern in Auburn last night, hope you had a good time. Also, hope you don't mind if there's no college football season, because that's essentially what they're saying, Ben.
Right.
You need to put your actions before your words in this case. And I know I said like college students are going to be college students, but you got to make the decision. And I don't really blame them for choosing getting hammered and dancing to Mo Bamba and being at a bar with their friends, because that's a short period of their life. But if you're going to make that decision, you have to be okay with, hey, there's a chance one of the Auburn players is going to get it. And if he gets it, he'll give it to everyone else in practice. And if everyone in practice has it, when they play the season on September 26th, everyone on Kentucky is getting it. And then we're screwed.
Right.
So you just have to make those decisions as a college student. So I tried not to be like the librarian with the ruler slapping someone on the wrist. But it's frustrating, man. It's frustrating when you've got people at the top levels of these universities saying, all right, screw it. We'll bring students back on campus, and we know they're going to behave themselves.
Right.
And we all know they're not. And it's frustrating when the students don't behave themselves, even though we did know they're not. It's frustrating to see it because we want college football. So a lot of things are going on in my head right now. I just hope people are healthy and safe, and I hope as a result we can play college football.
I mean, that is one of the best summations. And again, goes back to that big C word, compartmentalized, because you have college students that have been brought back onto campus, and you're asking these kids to let go of their social life, which is a huge reason people even go to college in the first place. And then they are also the same kids that are going to be mad when September 26th comes around and the SEC football season is canceled or postponed. And it's that idea of, because we have a lack of leadership at time, wherever you want to go up to, whether that be the federal government, the state government, your local municipality, your college guidance, whatever it may be, because there's a lack of leadership, it comes down to a personal responsibility, especially dealing with this COVID-19 pandemic. And right now, a lot of people are saying, I'm good. I'm only really worried about myself. If I can stay healthy, then whatever. I'll try my best. Yeah. But as we function in society, especially on these college campuses, as we are trying to gear up for a football season, it will affect the Auburn football team, the staff around the Auburn football team, whatever it may be. So that is really the issue, in my opinion. And I don't agree with Nick Saban on maybe a whole lot of things. I think when he gets up to the podium, at times he can be a little bit grungy, if you will.
Surly?
Yeah, sure. Why not? But I think one of the best things he said, and it was the same week, right before the Big Ten postponed its fall sports season, right after Scott Frost pretty much was the media darling of all of national college football, focusing on Lincoln, Nebraska. Nick Saban said, listen, this is not so much an issue of college football. It's an issue of college education. Because if you are saying we are willing to bring back the student population to our college campuses, how is football itself, where our athletes are within the facility getting better medical care, the real issue here? It's an issue of bringing people back to campus and what that could mean for the positivity rate within our entire city, within our entire population. So that's where I actually tipped my cap to Nick Saban. And I was like, you know what, Nick? That's a good point right there, my friend.
He's been making a lot of good points lately. And, yeah. And shout out to Nick Saban, because he led on Monday in Tuscaloosa. This is sort of off topic, but he led a march of his entire team and a lot of student athletes at Alabama, not just football players, across campus. And they ended that march at the Foster Auditorium, which, for those who don't know anything about Foster Auditorium, roughly 50 years ago, it's where Alabama Governor George Wallace basically campaigned for segregation.
Right.
And I don't have my math wrong there. That's 50 years ago. Think about that. Mm-hmm. Campaigning for segregation. That's insane, man. It's hard to wrap your mind around that. So shout out to Nick Saban, because, again, he shows us what a leader looks like. He really does every time. Yeah. So anyway, but going back to what we're talking about with COVID-19, this, if any college students are listening right now, let me give this message to you.
Please.
It sucks what's happening right now. It sucks. Everybody recognizes that. And I'm sorry. Honestly, I feel terrible. I feel very lucky to have graduated in 2019, the year before the world started ripping apart at the seams, because I had a normal college experience, basically, and I got out of there right before everything started falling apart.
Right.
And it's really unfortunate. And I'm sorry that your college experience has been sort of torn down like this, especially if you're at a huge SEC school where two of the main draws to go there are college football and partying, like legitimately. But sure. At this point, even though it sucks and we've established that the circumstances blow, and I'm sorry, you cannot have your cake and eat it too.
Right.
You need to make a decision at this point. Do I want to be a super spreader of COVID-19 and just say, screw it, I'm going to go get drunk with my friends and dance to Mo Bamba? Or am I going to do my part to, most importantly, keep everybody healthy, keep myself healthy, care about other people on campus and in the society as a whole, and try to do my part to stay healthy? And as, you know, as an auxiliary effect of that, maybe we can play college football this year. You just have to make that decision. And I'm not saying it's an easy one. Honestly, like, even to this day, Ben, I'm 23 now.
Right.
I know if I were a freshman in college at the moment, it'd be a hard decision for me. And so for me to make that decision when I'm 18, 19 years old, that would be extremely tough. But that's just the reality. And again, it sucks that you can't party and have college football and keep everyone healthy at the same time. But that's just how it is. And so we have to adapt.
It's been two straight episodes. It's been two straight days of hearing Drew Carter's voice. It comes to an end coming up next, but not before we get some comps from the SEC of some Big Ten teams we might be able to put our fandom into this upcoming college football season. And we have seen it across all of college campuses in the country. We've seen it affect schools in the ACC. We've seen Notre Dame have to shut down and then come back now, which is kind of a crazy thing to me. We've seen UNC and NC State go to online instruction. Michigan State, even out of the Big Ten, was supposed to come back to school and literally a day beforehand said, nope, we're going to keep remote learning for the semester. So it's been an issue we've been dealing with and will continue to deal with throughout what might be a college football season. So getting to that point, Drew, I have said on this podcast a lot, the idea of the SEC playing September 26th or the ACC getting to that September 12th kickoff date is kind of still like a holy land. Like, hopefully we get there, but I don't know if we eventually will. So what is the confidence level that you feel right now that the SEC in particular will get to that September 26th start date? That's good. Yeah. That's all we need. That's fine. That's fine. I'll take that.
It's good. It's so hard. It really is so hard. You know, I was going to say, I wish I could give you some inside intel being down here, but I feel like I'm decently plugged in. There's really no intel to report.
Right.
They just, honestly, we just don't know. And the people making the decisions just don't know. That's why it's scary for SEC football fans. But I do think the leadership has been so strong, not just from Greg Sankey, but from the presidents, the chancellors, the athletic directors, and from some of the coaches, Nick Saban in particular. I think they're going to start. If I were handicapping this, I would say, yes, they'll play on September 26th. It's like a minus 250. Okay. I feel fairly confident they'll start the season. Will they make it to December? I would put that as more of like a plus 250, honestly. And again, just based on what we've seen, I mean, Major League Baseball is still playing, but if what happened in Major League Baseball happens in college football, can they really justify continuing to play? If one of the teams, after one meeting with an opponent, if one of the teams has a monster outbreak of COVID-19, first of all, we're not talking about 15 players or however many Marlins tested positive. Gus Malzahn said Auburn's roster yesterday is 122 deep, okay? And they're all in the same area.
Right.
So you best believe we're going to have dozens of players testing positive if there is an outbreak on one of these teams. And I think an outbreak is more likely because of the nature of the sport, baseball versus football. Just think about it. Football, you're trying to knock someone's head off, whereas baseball, you can stay socially distanced. And – the piece de resistance here is these guys are not getting paid.
Right.
Yes, they're getting scholarships, but they are amateurs. And I think the fact that they're still classified by the NCAA as student athletes might be what actually brings college football down as a whole, not COVID-19, because I think these schools will be reticent to keep student athletes on campus while pulling everyone else on campus. And that's going to kill them in a potential legal battle down the line when these players try to unionize. And it's a when, it's not an if, because they know how much power they have right now. So if these schools basically say, no, you are different, we're gonna treat you differently, you can stay, everyone else leave, they're screwing themselves. And I heard someone say, you know, that long-term loss for the NCAA isn't worth the 1 year of playing college football.
Yep.
So I think that might actually be what ends up derailing college football season. But who knows, man? Honestly, that's the only answer is who knows.
And this is really what you pointed out, the idea of amateurism in student athletes, because if the NCAA or these conferences or these schools acknowledge what a lot of people know that cover college sports is that they are not just student athletes, and they were to say there is a distinction, send the general population of campus home, but keep the athletes here, you'd be acknowledging the system does not work the way you intended it to, but you're allowing college football to be played. And I think a lot of people would kind of take that trade-off. I don't know, but we are not at that point yet. The NCAA will not have that happen, because if Mark Emmert does one thing in this world, it's make sure student athlete is known to the general population. That is the one thing he does in Indianapolis. So, Drew, we've talked a lot about COVID-19. We've talked a lot about serious stuff as well. We've gone on long tangents on these now two episodes that you've been here on the Locked On Big Ten show. That's kind of what we do. I have you on. I'm like, oh, let's get like 15, 20 minutes. I look down at the stopwatch. It's like 37 minutes later. So we'll end your appearance here, your back-to-back appearances on the Locked On Big Ten show with this. Starting next week, I'm going to be going around to the other Power 5 conferences that are still playing football at this point and asking for some comparisons of who the Big Ten faithful can mainly put their loyalties into for the upcoming 2020 season. So as you cover Alabama and Auburn, And I'm also going to ask you to make a UAB comp to the Big Ten. Give me your comparisons and who some Big Ten fans maybe can align their schools with coming out of the SEC. And then, of course, the darling of the group of five, UAB.
The darling. The cream.
Yes.
Okay. Wow, I love this question. This will be fun. Okay. So let's start with Alabama. Let's start with the class of the conference. Seems to me like Alabama's easy parallel is Ohio State.
I would say so.
That's what it feels like. So obviously they're the best teams in their conference. We were expecting them to both be in the college football playoff. They've been good for a long time. They dominate on the recruiting trail. I'm trying to think if there's any other comp for Alabama, and the only other one would be Michigan, maybe. Yeah. Just because of the history.
Right.
But this year, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So Alabama equals Ohio State. If you like rooting for the best, you're going to root for the Crimson Tide this year.
Yeah.
So Buckeyes fans, that's who you're going to root for. Auburn fans. All right. So Ben, help me out here. Is there a team in the Big Ten where they go up, down, up, down, up, down, like a cosine curve from year to year, being in playoff contention, then going 500, your coach is on the hot seat? Beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl, maybe make the Sugar Bowl, and then your coach is on the hot seat. Is there a team in the Big Ten that does that?
I'm trying to think, and without angering too many fans of the Wolverines, maybe Michigan, not coming all the way back down to like 500, but just having years where the chance of playing in a college football playoff seemed pretty slim. I mean, recently, I guess you could kind of look towards a Michigan State, who at a time seemed to be the elite in the Big Ten East, and then the last couple of years haven't been great in East Lansing, and now a new head football coach. It's a tough one. Auburn was one that always kind of was tricky to me, because Auburn, at least, even when they're not great, plays with a little bit of flash. At least you think they're going to be good, and they are, I guess, in comparison to the rest of college football, would be a standout team. So I would maybe say even like an Iowa team that has good years when they can get to the top of the Big Ten West, but it's not quite the same pomp and circumstance that the Auburn Tigers play with. So I that's a tough comparison, right. But I would love to hear your take here.
Yeah, not quite the pomp and circumstance from Iowa.
Right.
Yeah. We do not like 3 yards in a cloud of dust on the plane. So I'll say Auburn. I think Auburn would be sort of comparable to Wisconsin, just in terms of how good we expect them to be. Now, let me throw another question at you here.
Yeah.
Auburn, this is how I would sum up Auburn's scouting report in one sentence this year. I can't do that, obviously. I talk way too much for that. But Auburn last year had a true freshman quarterback. He was the second coming. His name is Bo Nix. His dad was the starting quarterback at Auburn. Everyone knows about Bo Nix, five-star recruit from Alabama. He's the golden boy, but he was a freshman, made a lot of mistakes last year. Their defense was unbelievable last year, one of the best in Auburn history. But unfortunately, the offense could not carry its weight. Now, the shoe's on the other foot. The defense loses a ton of experience and talent, and now it's on Bo to ascend. And if he's like a Heisman contender, like a lot of Auburn fans think he can be, they could be really good again. If he's not, they could really struggle. Is there a team like that in the Big Ten?
I might look at your home state. It's not quite the same comparison, but last year, Tanner Morgan, who actually had a great year, so he didn't really struggle like Bo Nix. But if you're looking for him to ascend to, oh man, I was about to start talking about Minnesota in 2020 and how they might play. That really just got me. It's got my own head right there. Okay, refocus. We'll go to sadness. Here we are. We're good. We're talking. Okay. Tanner Morgan, if he excelled to the level, it's still hard for me. Okay. If he excelled to the level that they expected him to, Minnesota would be able to take that leap and be consistent for a second straight year, not just a flash in the pan. So that might kind of be where I go for the Gophers in terms of, and they did lose a crap ton on defense. Antoine Winfield Jr. is gone. A lot of their linebacking core left as well. So I guess kind of, you know, Auburn's tough. Auburn's given us a little thorn in the side here.
Yeah. Let's go Auburn, Minnesota.
Okay.
I think that's fair. Obviously a lot of differences there. You know, Minnesota doesn't quite have the same history, I think, as Auburn, unless you want to go way back to like the 1940s and 50s. And they also have a coach who is pure electricity, whereas Auburn, not the case. I mean, I love Gus, but he's no PJ Fleck.
No.
Okay, in terms of personality. So we'll go Bama, Ohio State. We'll go Auburn, Minnesota, UAB.
Now this one I'm very excited for.
UAB is one of one. There is no comparison for UAB. UAB is truly unique this year. And like we talked about, there's a real chance they go undefeated. And then that's not just me saying it because I'm in Birmingham and, you know, they're nice to me when I cover the team. UAB legitimately should be really good. They won their conference 2 years after they had folded the program for 3 years. They came back from their hiatus and they won the conference 2 years later. They've been in the hunt for the conference title every year since. They've got an awesome coach, Bill Clark. They've got Tyler Johnson, who's an experienced quarterback. He's one of those Aaron Kraft type guys who's been there forever, and you can't fathom how he still has eligibility.
Aaron Kraft, Big Ten tie. Well done. There you go.
He's somehow a redshirt junior, even though he's like 50 years old. So, hey, UAB has a real chance to be really good this year. And I have always been about giving G5 teams a chance in the playoff. I have UCF national champion Sox, man. I love these group of five teams. I want them to have a shot, and I think UAB might have a shot this year.
I am the complete opposite of you. I hated Central Florida that year because it was the year that Scott Frost was then going to come to Nebraska, and now all of these Husker fans that just had an abysmal 2018 season were like, oh, we love the Central Florida Golden Knights. Yeah, national champions. I was like, screw you guys. Screw the Disney World Parade. It doesn't count. It's not true. That's not how this works. Anyway, though, I will say that the UAB Nugget is a gold mine because Big Ten fans, if they don't want to root for an SEC team and they're looking for somebody that has a legitimate shot, UAB is a good one, even if just to make a couple bets on Saturdays during the fall and get your action that way. And that is why Drew Carter is all-encompassing. He's not only SEC Drew. He's now maybe UAB Drew. He gives us all the knowledge you could hope for and his Big Ten Minnesota ties. A whole package in one. Drew Carter, a sports reporter and anchor at CBS 42 in Birmingham, Alabama. We appreciate your insight as always. Two episodes out of you on two separate occasions. That's why I personally love you very much.
Let us play, Ben. Thanks for having me, man.
So thank you very much again to my good friend, SEC, with Big Ten ties, hailing from the great state of Minnesota, Drew Carter, a sports anchor and reporter at CBS 42 in Birmingham, Alabama, keeping you locked and loaded with not just news and notes about the Southeastern Conference, the SEC, but UAB. I mean, come on, they're going to be 1-0 after tonight. And Drew Carter said they would be most likely unbeaten this season if they can get past Miami coming up in just a few weeks. I mean, listen, he's given you insight from all over the Southland. So shout out to Drew Carter for keeping us entertained for two straight episodes here on the Locked On Big Ten Show. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Drudel. Yeah, you heard that right. At Drudel25. It's D-R-E-U, Drew, D-L-E, 25. Give him a follow. He's a fantastic guy, incredibly entertaining. You will not regret that. You make sure you follow along with who will be a superstar in the sports broadcast world. That is my call for Drew Carter. So anyway, programming note here to finish up the Friday episode of the Locked On Big Ten Show. As we get to the holiday weekend, we'll be doing a slightly different schedule next week. Still three shows a week, Tuesday, back-to-back on Wednesday, and then Friday to round it out before we possibly get back to 5 days a week. Do not hold me to it, but as I mentioned earlier this week, some exciting things happening here on the Locked On Big Ten Show to bring this Big Ten community together, because while the league office bickers and runs and hides from its own programs, the fans and the podcasters of the Locked On Big Ten community will come together. We will be together. We will heal together. And maybe we'll get some Big Ten football together. I don't know. I don't think a vote happens. That's how I'll end the show. Anyway, enjoy your holiday weekend. Have a great 3-day weekend. And until we talk on Tuesday, have a splendid holiday weekend.